You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
+27734703520. That's the number for you to dial. It's a WhatsApp number. Alternatively, you can write your questions or comments on our platform on Facebook or YouTube as we have this conversation. Feminine hygiene, that is what we're going to be talking about this morning. It's an important one. You've got kids. Maybe you don't have a womb. Maybe you are in menopause. Maybe you don't worry about these things anymore, but you've got generations of children in your family who you need to care about, and generally just women. Honestly, just caring about each other does matter.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Feminine hygiene, yeah. Mm-hmm. Recently, there have been a few incidents that have sparked some serious conversations and controversy about some feminine hygiene products. And we want to learn if there are things that we can do to mitigate some of the risks that have been exposed. I'm joined on the line by Sis Naledi Mukwetla, and I'm excited to have this conversation with you, Naledi. Good morning to you. Maybe you can introduce yourself to the listeners so that we know who we are speaking to.
Good morning. Hi.
Are you good?
My name is Naledi Mukwetla. Yes, I'm good, ma'am. How are you?
I'm happy to be speaking to you. Thank you for accepting our invitation, Naledi, and to be speaking about something so important, raising health matters this morning. That is absolutely crucial. Why do you care about health issues? Maybe let's start there.
Why do I care about health issues? Mm-hmm. I think it's important so that we are able to look after the bodies that the Lord has given us, and also to be able to use what He has given us to help other people. For if we are sick and not well, we won't be able to minister to other people. So that's why I care about health issues.
Yeah. Very true what you said, pertinent. I want us to, you know, focus firstly on the feminine hygiene, because this is something that is currently something on a burning issue in many people's minds, and they're looking for solutions. Women, unfortunately, find themselves in a situation where every single month you have this issue that you need to deal with here, and the issue of the blood. And when one menstruates, of course, we have to have a barrier. I don't know what they used to use back in the days, but we find ourselves where there are some options that were presented to us as we were growing up. Maybe let's talk about those different options that women actually have, those that they know of, and maybe those that they don't know of, that other people in other cultures and other countries use.
All right, so typically what's in use nowadays are sanitary pads. So this is your Always, your Kotex, and also tampons. Those two are the most common ones that are used. But there are also other more sustainable and eco-friendly menstrual products that are there, such as menstrual cups, menstrual discs, as well as what is called the period underwear or period panty. So those are the options that are available nowadays to use.
Mm-hmm. I saw the period panties yesterday. I went to visit and I saw the panties, and I was like, how do the panties work? Because now a fear would be, if you buy those period panties, when you now need to change at work, it means taking out your whole... If you are wearing pants, you must remove the pants to wear another panty. Now, lady, is that functional?
Is it functional? I guess it's not as convenient as a pad would be, because it'll be quicker to change, but it is more durable and more economical, because you would buy a set and you know that, okay, this can last me for some time as I change and reuse them.
I definitely think it's something that's good for maybe people who work from home or are not out in the public a lot, then that is a great alternative to definitely consider. The other one that you mentioned is the menstrual cups, and I think even young people in schools are introduced to menstrual cups. Is that not so? What's okay? The cup, the tampon, is it not similar in the sense that is it something that you have to insert? Is that not painful for young ladies?
The menstrual cup and the tampon, yes, they do work similarly. They occupy the same space in the in our female genital area. In terms of it being painful, I would assume that at first it would be uncomfortable, but after a few tries, you would get used to it.
And then there was one more that you also mentioned. I think I missed that one. So we mentioned the sanitary towels. We mentioned the tampons, the cups, the panties. And what was the last one that you said, Naledi?
I mentioned a menstrual disc.
How does that work?
It functions. It's similar to a menstrual cup, except that it goes way deeper. It's a flexible medical grade silicone. So it would be useful for those who are more active or more, those who have a much more heavier flow, because it is able to absorb your menstrual flow for up to 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically sits in your vaginal fornix higher than where the tampons or the cups would sit, and then it just collects the blood that flows out, and you'll take it out after 12 hours.
Mm-hmm. Are all of these safe?
with the sanitary pads, they're a bit questionable, especially recently.
Mm-hmm.
But there are organic options for them where they are made from like 100% cotton and with materials that are more health conducive to our skin and for that area down there. With the menstrual cups and menstrual discs, I would say they are safe because they are medically made. They are silicone cups and they are approved. So I would say they are safe.
And I don't know, as an opinion, would we need to... Would these organic ones need to be tested, or because they come from organic, natural products, they don't need to be tested? I'm just wondering, because when I went to the shop yesterday, someone said these ones were not tested, but at the time I didn't question whether would they need to be tested or not.
Mm. I think they should be taken through the same process as the other conventional mm-hmm. sanitary pads for regulation purposes, just to keep things in check, because things can go haywire with some things. Even with cotton, sometimes it could be grown with pesticides, so that's also a possibility. So to just mention that something is 100% cotton may not mean it's like the clean kind cotton.
I would think
that there should be some regulation as well with them to make sure that we are getting what they are actually saying that the product is offering.
Now, if someone says to you that these were tested and they did not pass the test, but they are organic products, that now means that you must leave that kind of product and then go and find the other alternatives like the ones that we mentioned. I don't know if these things are sold in the store very easily, or if it's always hidden, or maybe I've never looked for all these other products. I don't know, in your experience, Naledi, have you found that they are always there, readily available in all stores? And I know it depends on what country or what region you might be in, but generally
I'd say no. With these organic ones, I've not seen them easily available, and at the same time they would be more expensive, so they may not be as a easily financial accessible to most of people here in South Africa. So it's ideal if it's possible you to use them, but if not, then the traditional ones are the next. They can be used as well if the period painting is not
An
the best fit for
option.
you.
What are the differences between organic sanitary wear and other regular products that women use? What actually are the differences? I heard you mentioning, maybe cotton can also be grown with certain chemicals, making it not necessarily 100% safe. What are the things that distinguish between organic versus, I don't know, non-organic?
The biggest thing is basically what they are made of. So with the organic ones, they would use natural materials, whereas with the regular ones, they are synthetic. So I believe the most common ones is the for organic is the ones made out of cotton. And for them to be healthful, it will need to be cotton that's grown without pesticides or synthetic fertilizers. And it's good because with cotton it's breathable. And whereas with the other ones that are most common, they contain up to 90% plastic, and they also have other materials in them to help with absorption. So these have been found to And they also use chemicals as well. And these chemicals can have trace amounts of toxins in them that can cause skin irritation or even lead to bacterial or fungal infections. So that's the main difference is basically what are these products made out of. And yeah, and then the other things are just the environmental impact, whereas the organic ones, they're more biodegradable. And so they are better for the environment. And with the regular ones, they are non-biodegradable because most of it is just plastic. So it'll take years to decompose and it will just contribute to the landfill waste of the environment.
An aunt of mine once said to me that if we're talking about skin products, if it's not edible, don't use it. But in this particular situation where we're talking about menstrual health, back before pre-industrialization, before we had all these machines that know how to make synthetic products and I always wonder because my mind is so imaginative. I go as far back as Mother Eve. Did Mother Eve have to go through a monthly routine? What did she use? What did women 4,000 years ago use? I've always wondered that. Is that something that you've ever explored?
I did look into what was used by women pre-industrialization. So this is before the 18th century. And I found that they would use fabric rags or homemade pads. They would make them out of woven material or flannel, and they would basically attach these fabrics between their thighs or attach them, or they'll place them, between their thighs, or they would attach them to their undergarments. And that's essentially what they would use. It's kind of, I would say, like a cloth nappy for a baby. So I assume it's something similar. They would just use a cloth. But I also found that they also used other natural materials such as sheep's wool, moss, grass, cotton, as it's used now as well. And in other some cultures would also use animal skin. like buffalo skin in Africa. So those are the things I found that were used before industrialization.
Yeah. I'm thinking quite a number of things right now. For example, that I don't know what they looked like when they wore those things, you know, and I'm assuming they were still comfortable to walk in them. But I'm thinking of how the world has changed so much. You know, even our dress code, my lady, has changed. The woman didn't wear pants like we wear pants, for example. So it would be easy to hide a lot of things underneath the skirts or the dress, without anything being necessarily obvious, you know, to the public. Because you do consider, I don't know, what you wear when you are in that time of the month. It's not just normal life for many people. I don't know how a lot of celebrities do it. You know, when you watch people dancing on shows and stuff, I always wonder, are they always, do they choose these tours at dates that are very specific? But how would you determine that? Or I just wonder, you know, sometimes. And the other thing that sometimes I think kind of breaks my heart is we were so, I was not there, but being able to self-sustain, there was so much beauty in that. Can you see like the skills that people had back then, making all these things for yourself? And then we have this now industrialization that has come. We've got all this capitalism where for a lot of people who find themselves in the system and almost unable to just get themselves out, uproot themselves, so dependent on other people for things that honestly we cannot live without, you know? I don't know if, would you like to comment about that?
Yes, I'd like to comment. I think with what you said, with the skills being learned, people being more dependable and able to supply for themselves and not depend so much on these manufacturers, I think it was a very advantageous thing for those times, because now we have this thing where we deal with period poverty because
Ooh.
we have kids who are or people who are not able to afford pads. Like there are stories we hear of where children won't go to school for days because they don't have pads and
So
such
true.
things. But if you think about it, if sanitary pads, the traditional ones or the tampons, were not such a thing, it'll be a common thing to make your own organic or homemade pad, and it wouldn't be such a taboo thing or seen as, no, this is low then or not the thing or not the status quo. And so it's like embarrassing if we were not so dependent on these new manufactured things that exist now.
Yeah. And I think there really is so much politics around this issue because why, and you know, you look at condoms and they free if you go to, I know if you're in a university and you go to a university toilet, the condoms are there. If you go to, I heard in garages you could find them free. I don't know about that. But basically the point I'm making is these are things that are free. I think there was a time they said condoms was made free in school toilets as well. And it's interesting that the sexual health is put on a pedestal over and above women hygiene, where like something that is not your choice, kids don't have access to get that for free. Even women who don't have money, resources, don't have it available to them for free, you know. Whereas people could still, like with sexual health, there could still be options where, okay, you can buy your particular brand of condoms that you want, just like you can buy your particular brand of sanitary wear that you prefer, but there's still the option of a free one if you don't have the means. But that is not even an option in our country. And I don't know if there's a single place in the world where they actually provide sanitary wear for free.
Yes, that what you said is true, and it's sad because, unlike with sexual activities, you can choose to abstain from, and that be a choice. But with menstruation, it's not a choice; it's something that's there. And so, it would be a very good humanitarian move for them, for pads to be available in public places. I don't know also of, well, I know that because I used to study at the University of Cape Town, and there was an initiative where it was started where you could place a donate like pads into a box in the girls' toilets. So there were like some toilets that have these boxes, and you could find pads, and if you wanted to, you can go and just drop one there. So I think it was an initiative that was started by students
That's
who
good.
most likely saw the need that was there. But I don't know if other places other than at UCT, and I don't know if it's still going on since I'm not there anymore. But that would be a good initiative to start at schools as well, universities or high schools and primary schools, just to have that initiative, it would be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And some schools do get government help where there are feminine products that come. I mean, these issues are really political, where they'll get a package of maybe pads and then what you call this, a toothpaste. Roll on soap, maybe cream, I don't know, but there's something like that. And of course, someone would raise the issue that, oh, but they're only giving the girls because the boys don't get that. And yes, boys might not need pads, but it would be nice for them to have roll-ons as well. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much
Yes.
inequality, and it's I don't know, like, it's starting. Sometimes it does get to me, like, but at school, we're speaking of kids, these people, Batswana, I could have a brother. We come from the same home, Siyahlupheka, which is why we are in a no-fee paying school. Sonke sobabini. But when we go there, only my sister gets these things. Nah, Wootsie, I don't need to smell nice. I don't need to have soap to bath with. And we know that in those kinds of communities, the poverty is really bad, and people depend on the government for everything. And even when we spoke about the condoms, it might come across like, oh, what a very unrealistic view we have. Because even with the condoms, I do have a critique about, but in in female bathrooms, they wouldn't put female condoms. They would only put male condoms. And I did have an issue even with that. There's many variations and many nuances to consider in these kinds of conversations.
That is true.
We are 14 minutes to go before the end of our clock time together. Millicent Ndiweni is my name. I am in conversation with Naledi Mkwetle, and we are speaking about feminine hygiene. She is pretty much a health activist, and we are having a conversation about how we can navigate some of the issues that we have no choice but to find solutions to, given the fact that we have seen feminine hygiene products being tested and getting a lot of a backlash about them not being good for our use, some of the issues being so bad as to be harmful and impact on women's fertility, which is very scary, very, very scary. So we've spoken about some of the options that you have if you would like to try something different apart from the usual that you see in the store, usually being pads and tampons. There are other options to consider. Not always easily available, not always affordable either. Naledi, I'm interested, maybe just expanding the conversation from only feminine hygiene, but just other interesting, I would call them secrets, because I know women have all sorts of secrets. There are things that a grandmother has passed down generation to generation to generation that runs in families that people know about. And some people come out on social media and share those secrets to help others. But what are some of the secrets that maybe women need to know about how to take care of themselves, particularly during that time of the month, but even, you know, extending beyond that?
All right. So one thing that we commonly struggle with when we're going through that time of the month are period pains. So one thing that you can use to relieve such pain is to take hot bath with Epsom salts. So the magnesium in that Epsom salt can help relax muscles and soothe tension. But also you could also use heat therapy. So you could use a hot water bottle or hot cloth where you place it in your lower back or lower abdomen to help relieve pain. So there's one way you could, what women can do to try to relieve the pain that commonly we suffer from. Also, there are teas that can be drank to help with such pain, such as ginger tea and peppermint tea. One of the symptoms of periods is nausea and like any digestive issues. So peppermint tea can help soothe such digestive issues. Oh. And there is also raspberry leaf tea, which is, it strengthens the uterine muscles and eases cramps. So that is good to have. But with these things, it's consistency is what is best. It's what works best. So you can try just before your period, or maybe a week before, even throughout, let's say, because the period will last like usually 5 days, and then afterwards you could consistently drink the raspberry leaf tea, and so that you can just help your hormones be balanced. Mm-hmm. And so that when your menstruation comes or your period comes, things are more in balance, so that the cramps are not as bad.
Oh, wow.
So that's the thing with these herbal remedies, is you need to be consistent with them so that they can actually have an impact when the time comes.
It's very helpful. Very helpful. I think I appreciate that very pragmatic counsel. And then besides menstrual hygiene, are there other important hygiene practices for women to be aware of and then to do consistently perhaps?
Yes, it's important to make sure that you are cleaning yourself down there. So just the area between the legs with water. So just plain water. It's important that you don't flush anything else inside the vagina, because you would disrupt the pH level and the healthy bacterial area that's there, because that organ is a self-cleaning one. So if you flush other things or you put soap or to clean it, it disrupts the natural and healthy bacteria. So as you do your daily baths, you just clean around that area with water just outside. And other practices or habits to have is also when you are wiping, to wipe from front to back and not back to front, so that you don't bring what's at the back in front, which can cause infections or sickness from down there. And also another thing is to change out of sweaty clothes to minimize creating an area where it'll be a breeding ground for bacteria, because it's so hot and stuffy and moist. So that's another thing to take into consideration. If you go for a run afterwards, change out of the tights, shower, and just be clean. And to also wear breathable cotton underwear if that's possible, to just reduce the moisture down there, because moisture there can cause yeast infections. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that. And finally, I can suggest that for regular gynecological checkups, so to have your annual exams where you would get your pap smear, your pelvic exams, and your STD testing, it's important. And in helping with these checkups as well, or to see if you need one, to just monitor changes in your body. So pay attention if there's a change in your odor, to the discharge, or the color, as these can indicate infections that may need medical attention.
Beautiful. I think that's very helpful. You've given us practical advice. Just the last one from me, because you mentioned a lot of, when you sweat, you must take out clothes. When it's very hot, you need to maybe try and change into something else just to avoid infections maybe rising. Would you say that it is important for women to find, I don't know, in a day, every single day, I don't know, that they must not maybe have some clothes on in that area? Is that a thing? Like an underwear is something that's tightly against you, does that area need time to breathe basically without undergarments?
I did not look into that, so I don't know if there's
Okay.
any scientific evidence
To
into
that.
that.
Yeah. Okay. I've mostly heard about the cotton one as but yeah, I know that one that you also mentioned. Very interesting stuff. Now, lady, you gave us so much practical stuff, which is really awesome. I really want to thank you for your time and joining us this morning to speak on this very sensitive but absolutely important topic. May God bless your work as you continue to learn about him and evangelize about everything that you also are learning. Thank you for today.
Thank you for having me.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.